Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's on Tap is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, Pittsburgh's premier craft beer destination, over 500 beers. Keith Butler said this week, Robert Spillane does some things better than Devin Bush, Chris. A Steelers analyst has pinpointed what that thing is. Very obvious, in his opinion, what an undrafted guy who the Steelers made sure wasn't in their starting lineup week one. They went out and traded for Joe Schobert because they were deathly afraid that they were going to have to lean on Robert Spillane. Well, now, six games into the season at the bye week, a Steelers analyst is saying, yes, it's true, an undrafted linebacker does something better than the 10th overall pick from a few years ago. So buckle up for that one. I know.
Hold on, not... You didn't
and that
tell
Steelers the analyst is not Craig Riley, by the way.
You
I
did not tell the whole story here. Then the 10th overall pick from a few years ago, who the Steelers traded up 10 spots to acquire.
Yes, that's right. Okay, Bruce Gradkowski's back with us. He's getting ready for the Ohio State High School football playoffs. His team, I believe, this year has been relatively healthy at quarterback. You haven't had to go call on a backup at all this year, Bruce, have you? Have you made a quarterback change? At any point, you doing musical chairs with quarterbacks there?
Man, don't even. We shouldn't even talk about that because I don't even have a backup. I've just been riding with my stud. He's been doing a good job. Actually, last week, he did go down for a play, and he was rolling around. He was rolling around on the ground, holding his knee and stuff, and I think everyone had a heart attack on our sideline, but fortunately, he's able to shake it off and continue playing.
You got to make sure, Bruce, that your backup quarterback doesn't actually hear this little snippet of our conversation. Let me make that suggestion to you.
That would not exactly go with the standard philosophy of your old Steelers head coach, Bruce.
Say that again?
That would not go with the standard is the standard next man up thing that your old head coach here in Pittsburgh liked to preach.
Well, listen, we'll find a guy. But, you know, trying to install process and everything like that, it's been on the fly. We'd fill someone in, but it wouldn't be an ideal situation. High school, yeah, next man up, but you don't always have a next man, you know?
All right. So all eyes in Pittsburgh around the Browns game tonight because that's the Steelers' next opponent. And before the year started, the Browns were looked at as probably the team to beat in the AFC North. Now they've got the same record as the Steelers. You get paid a lot of money. I think it's probably six figures, maybe, what, seven figures, Chris?
Oh, yeah.
By PFF.
Huge PFF.
To break down these quarterbacks. In your opinion, your well-educated opinion, is there a big drop-off from Baker Mayfield to Case Keenum?
No, I wouldn't say there's a big drop-off. You know, and I get paid eight figures, so I'll just be honest with that. So it's all good. But
you think you'd have enough money to buy yourself a backup quarterback at least, Bruce.
That's what Seton LaSalle used to do in the day.
Hey, that's the plan this offseason. Hey, anyone's willing to move from Pittsburgh to Ohio, you'll break all kinds of records, you know? Our quarterback and receiver both lead in our conference in the most yards and catches and all that. So we throw the ball around. But anyways, No, there's not a big drop-off. I mean, I think Case Keenum's going to do a good job. I mean, he knows the offense. He's familiar with Stefanski and what Stefanski wants out of that offense. He was doing a good job in Minnesota and got the boot out of there. I think Keenum's a type of guy, too, where he's a good locker room guy. The teammates are going to love him. And it's nothing against Baker Mayfield, and I'm not even comparing the two. I'm just saying Keenum as a person, when he gets an opportunity, guys will respond, and they'll play well for him. And it'll be fun to watch, and I think he'll play more decisive in a sense. Last week, Mayfield was running around a little bit too much. So, I don't think it's a big drop-off. The bigger thing you guys got to look at, though, I think there's a lot more going on with Cleveland than just Baker Mayfield beat up. You know, both the running backs are out. They're beat up on the offensive line. Defensively, they haven't played up to par. But this could be a good time for Case Keenum to come in and shake it up.
Bruce, to go to Mayfield for a second here, because I actually think they're being very smart to put Keenum in. I think he might – he's had a better season. His 2017, I've told people this, is better than any season Mayfield's had, if you go by passer rating, just at least as a metric, and where they ended up in the NFC title game. But Mayfield's got this fully torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder. And I know you've suffered a shoulder injury yourself. I know that it was a, obviously not your non-throwing shoulder, right? It was a shoulder separation. But how
in
much
college he had the non-throwing shoulder pop back into place in the middle.
How much though is it hurt, or does it hurt your mechanics when you have even your non-throwing shoulder be banged up to the degree that his is? Like if they try to rush him back for that Steelers game on Halloween, Bruce, how compromised is he going to be mechanically because that other shoulder hurts him so bad?
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to affect him. I mean, you know, it happened to me in college. It was my non-throwing shoulder, my left shoulder that popped out on me in the MAC championship game. And, you know, they had to pop it back in. I continued playing, but it always felt like it was going to come back out. And, you know, in that offseason, I rehabbed. And then the first game of the year, the next season, it popped out, popped back in on me. And then the rest of the year, I never had another issue. But mine was a posterior labrum tear. And I don't know what Mayfield's is, but there's an anterior-posterior tear where if that happens, sometimes it comes in and out of the socket easier. And if your shoulder just is popping in and out of the shoulder consistently every time you get hit or moved a certain way, it's not comfortable. So now you're not going to play aggressive. You're not going to play tough. You're going to be tentative. So I don't think it's in the Browns' best interest to play Mayfield anytime soon. You know, because if it's going to heal at all, and not even heal, but if it's going to scar tissue down enough for him to, you know, continue to play this, it's got to be like 3 or 4 weeks of rehabbing and strengthening, and then he's going to wear a brace on it. So it's never, ever going to get fully back to 100% this season. But can it get, you know, back to good enough for him to play? I mean, that's the biggest question. But right now where he's at, there's no way I could have saw him playing in tonight's game. And I don't even really see him playing next week. Praise for how significant it is.
Bruce, do the Browns have an issue with the Odell Beckham Jr. dynamic where it seems from the outside like Mayfield feels extra pressure to get Odell Beckham Jr. the ball when he's in the game, and it takes the Browns out of what they do offensively best? It's kind of like, you know, Ben might have felt that way about Antonio Brown, but it made sense to get Antonio Brown the ball so much because – he was one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. That's no longer the case with Odell Beckham Jr., and you could speak to this. Like, that's got to be tough on a quarterback where you've got a loud wide receiver who needs the ball to be happy, but you're probably better off running the ball and being more of a balanced offense. So your take on the dynamic that exists there with Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah, I think it's tough. You know, and I think it's a compliment to Ben and AB for how much they worked on it to be on the same page. And it's a compliment to Ben for being that quarterback that can just make the throws. You know, when you're playing with a receiver that has more than enough ability, that has actually, you know, superstar ability like OBJ, like AB, they tend to do more on their routes because they can. They want to separate against coverage. They want to make it an easier throw for the quarterback, but sometimes it throws off the rhythm for the quarterback. And with Mayfield and OBJ, they just never got on the same page. You know, I remember Gray, you know, early on a few years ago, OBJ would put just a little too much juice on the top of his route. Mayfield, and he just kind of misses the throw. You know, when I was with Ben and AB, I watched AB put some more juice on his route, but Ben was so gifted throwing the football, it didn't matter. Ben was going to complete it anyway. If it was me throwing it, it probably would have been a pick or incomplete, you know, because I needed that timing and rhythm. So, you know, it's a compliment to how much you got to work at that. You know, and that's why it's impressive Tom Brady and AB, the relationship and the kind of chemistry they have right now, because it takes time to develop with a receiver that, you know, kind of puts a little more on some routes, that kind of does his own thing at times, and it just takes time. And OBJ and Mayfield never really have been able to get into that, you know, sink.
Bruce, I know we don't have a Steelers game. That's why we asked you all these Browns questions to start. But we love getting your take on what Ben Roethlisberger did the previous week. How did you have him graded? Because I felt like around here, Pony, correct me if I'm putting words in people's mouths here or misrepresenting it. It seemed like people were pretty underwhelmed by his and the team's overall performance in that game.
Yeah, I just felt like there really wasn't a harsh reaction one way or the other to
Ben,
the way Ben
Yeah, Ben
played.
Avoided the reaction because people didn't like the way the team played. But, yeah. Bruce, it seemed, let me put it this way, Bruce, not to lead the witness here too much, it did seem like Ben regressed a little bit, or the offense regressed a little bit from what they had done the previous week.
You know, I think I'm seeing better things from the offense, but the thing that still sticks out on my mind, and it's you know, we talked about a few weeks ago, is it's just little things here or there. I mean, look at like the RPO play that Ben fumbled on. He went to, you know, throw it, and then, you know, the one receiver's block and the other receiver's running a route. Well, Ben gets stuck in the middle and he can't hang on to the ball, so then it's a fumble. You know, those are the little things that they're not all the way on the same page with. And I think it's, you know, if that happens then it's probably a missed block another time. Then it's maybe a poor route. Then it's a missed throw. So those are the things that are kind of going on, which I felt like they cleaned up 2 weeks ago. I felt like, you know, last week still looked a little better, you know, but they still need to kind of continue to improve. But, you know, at the end of the day, too, just the way the Steelers have always been, it's got to be clean football. You've got to win as a team, offense, defense, special teams. Look at the way they've won this year against the Bills. It was a special teams win. This past week, it was, you know, T.J. Watt making a spectacular play. That's, you know, and then at some point this year it's going to be Ben making a spectacular play to win. So that's just how this team is built, and that's what they got to rely on. But in the meantime, they have to continue to get, you know, on the same page offensively. I've been seeing good things the last 2 weeks from them, and they've been getting into more of a rhythm at times, which is good to see. And now hopefully during this bye week they can continue to build on that.
Bruce, what do you make of their receiver core? You know, I think I'll speak for myself. I feel like we kind of overrated it before the season started. You know, you watched Deontay Johnson a lot at Toledo. You know, for me, I think Claypool's way too up and down. He doesn't make those 50-50 ball catches the way he should for a guy his size. For whatever reason, they don't seem to want to put James Washington on the field that much. To be honest with you, the guy who I trust to catch the ball the most when they throw it to him isn't even a receiver. It's Freiermuth, the tight end. So I know you're talking about getting on the same page. Maybe part of it is that these wide receivers aren't as good as we thought.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you have a point there, because I think Deontay Johnson is their guy that's quick twitch, that can separate versus man-to-man. Other than that, you know, you got Claypool, that's a big target, a big guy, but his routes downfield have been sloppy. You know, if he runs a go route, and if it's cover two, you got to get back outside and get in that window. You can't keep drifting towards the safety. Same thing on just a normal go route. If it's a single high, single high safety, you run and go. You can't take the inside release all the time and expect the quarterback to hit it. It's just a hard throw. So I want to see better routes from him. And, you know, sometimes, too, I mean, that's honestly the wonderful thing about Steeler fans, right? I mean, they love their team and their players. But at times, too, they put them on a pedestal, maybe sometimes too quick. You know, these guys have to earn it. You know, AB, he did it consistently for a ton of years. You know, Ben, he's been doing it consistently for a ton of years. You know, these guys have to know that it's got to be consistent football. You can't just have a good season or a good game. You have to bring it week in and week out. So I think with the young receiving core that they have more than enough talent and ability, but can they be consistent with it? And that's with running routes, that's with catching the football, that's with knowing what the concept's asking out of your route, what to do. And so I think there's still, you know, a lot of hope for this group because they have the talent, but that's just some of the stuff I've seen from them.
Bruce, can you teach a guy who's real big like Chase Claypool is, 6'4", can you teach somebody like that to play to the actual size that they are? Is that something that can be learned by an NFL player if they play smaller than they are, perhaps?
You know, sometimes that's a mentality. So it just all depends. I mean, I think Claypool has the mentality. I don't think he's like a soft receiver out there. I think he could play big. So I do think it's teachable, it's coachable. He can learn as he continues to do it more. You know, he has that speed too. A lot of times, if you're a big target, you're not always a guy that can run by someone. So you have to rely on those contested catches. Well, once Claypool puts it both together and realizes I can run by guys, but I can also go up and moss a guy, then he'll continue to be dangerous. So I do think it's, you know, him in particular can continue to learn that and do a good job at doing that.
Bruce Gradkowski with us. Tonight, Case Keenum, who's made $51 million in his NFL career, will become the 30th. I know. Yep.
Wow.
You're bragging about eight figures at Pro Football Focus. How about that? $51 million for Keenum. He will become the 31st starting quarterback for the Browns since they returned to the NFL in 1999. There is a jersey that gets tweeted out whenever a new starter gets added to the list, where names of starting quarterbacks are crossed out on it, Chris. I don't know if you've ever seen that one.
Gee, maybe once or twice.
Bruce, your name is on that list. Number one, are you honored by it? And number two, you started for the Browns back in 2008. Can you name the other three Browns quarterbacks who started a game for them that year?
Yeah, Brady Quinn, Derek Anderson, and Ken Dorsey.
What a list!
Oh, man.
What a quarterback room.
Well, how about Ken Dorsey? What, Ken Dorsey's passing game coordinator for Buffalo right now, right? Or is he a quarterback coach?
Yep.
Yeah. So he's doing a good
job. And a guy
job.
That was just on a Miami football team where they probably had enough dudes at Miami where they could have beaten an NFL team at the time.
Ken Dorsey that year in three starts, no touchdowns, seven interceptions.
What?
True story. Bruce, I'm not going to repeat your stat line, winning. However, from
well,
that year.
Well, Bruce had a brutal – wasn't there a horrible situation with you having to start that game against the Steelers that season?
You know, that's the year – that was a crazy year for me because, you know, rewind it to the offseason. Tampa Bay releases me after two seasons with them. I go to the St. Louis Rams for training camp. They cut me, and then I go to just – you know, every week I go to a workout with the team, the Texans, the Broncos, Kansas City, Seattle, you know, nonstop for seven straight weeks. And then the Browns finally signed me with 4 weeks remaining in that season. I remember I'm coming off, I tore my hamstring actually during a workout with the Texans in week seven. They were about to sign me. I popped my hammy. So I'm out now for another 5 weeks. And the Browns sign me right when I get healthy. I'm not even sure if I'm healthy. I go to the workout praying to God and putting some of that, what's like Bengay on my hammy, and I have it wrapped up. I'm doing anything possible to get through this workout to try to make a team. And they sign me. And I'm like, cool. So then I'm there for, 2 weeks. We're playing the Bengals. It's the coldest game of the year. Ken Dorsey gets a concussion with 4 minutes left in the game. So I go in, and I'm like, you know, it's freezing. So anyway, so then the last game of the year, I start against the Steelers in Pittsburgh. I think I had the worst quarterback rating ever in the NFL at that time in that game.
I'm gonna give the stats since you brought it up. Your quarterback rating, I'm looking at the box score of the game. You went 5 of 16 for 18 yards and 2 picks. Your quarterback rating was 1.0.
God.
So I had 18 yards that game.
Yeah, the first drive of the game, you guys marched at 44 yards. You had an okay little drive going, and then you missed a field goal. And then I'm just going to read the drive outcomes from the rest of the way. Punt, 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 yeah. End of half, punt, interception, punt, and downs.
What are you thinking during that game, Bruce?
No.
So, well, here's the funny thing about it, right? And you guys know me by now, so before the yep. game, I'm fired up I get this opportunity. And, of course, me, I'm thinking I'm going to win every game and I'm going to go and win a Super uh-huh. Bowl. So before the game, you know, guys are already talking about, like, where they're going in the offseason, how their cars are already getting shipped back home and so forth. So before the game, Romeo Crennel's the head coach, and, you know, we go to break the team down before we go on the field. And everyone's, like, quiet. No one wants to play the game. I get in there. I break the team down. I've only been there like 2.5 weeks. And I remember Willie McGinnis like looked at coach like, okay, I see him. And I was all fired up because I got my start. So I break the team down, go out there, have the worst quarterback rating of all time. But I'll tell you what, the first pick, the Steelers bring an overload blitz to the right. And we worked on it all week. I righted the protection to go to that blitz. Well, we don't go to it. I'm trying to hit Braylon Edwards on an in route. I get blasted. The ball goes up in the air. And then the next pick, the last pick of the game.
The second pick's worse.
I hit Jamal Lewis in the flat. It hits off his face mask, bounces straight up in the air, and it's a pick six.
No, the best part about that one is Tyrone Carter caught the ball in the end zone. He didn't run the ball back. It hit Lewis in the face mask, and Tyrone Carter catches the ball in the end zone for a touchdown.
That's where I was like, wow, I can't get a break. And
can have a good sense of humor about it because you came to Pittsburgh the next day and pulled off one of the biggest upsets in Heinz Field history. So you got
that was fun. But hey,
all right, bro, great to talk to you. Good.
You only grow through adversity, guys. You only grow through adversity. So I appreciate it.
You must have been to the team this week.
You must have been 10 feet tall then after that game.
All right, bro, good to talk to you, Bruce.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.